He's forgiven you. This is what John's gospel has said. He has loved you. He has answered you. He's done everything necessary to help you. And now he wants us to think about the very thing he said about himself. As I was about my Father's business, I want you to be about my Father's business.
Hi there. Welcome. This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who today returns us to the book of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. We catch up with him there in a message called Jesus's Irrevocable Calling. Do you realize and understand that God's calling in your life comes without revocation? In other words, he's not an Indian giver. He won't take it back. With more, here's Pastor Chris.
Remember, they are at the sea. We looked at the setting last time. Jesus has prepared for them breakfast, and they are going to eat. And now we're going to focus for a moment on Jesus and Peter together. This is the word of the Lord beginning at verse 15. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." And there will end the reading of God's word. The wonderful truth that the end of John 21 is being shown to us, and this is a fabulous chapter to study. I said last time, post-resurrection, we have some really important moments in the Gospels of certain things that are captured for us, particularly in John. The theme here is restoration and recommission. Those are the themes that we have at the end of chapter 21 in light of this whole Gospel that comes together and shows us these themes and what the Lord has done. But the major point here is that the failure of the disciples, the weakness of the disciples, the things that have happened that the disciples did that were terrible in these last days, in these last times before Jesus was going to the cross, does not annul the calling that Jesus has for them. It does not make the call void. And this is a really important point for our faith. This is an important point for being a Christian. How the Lord treats and how the Lord deals with Peter here is really important for us to understand. It's important to understand for the mission of the church, but it's important for us to understand as followers of Jesus. Did you notice that last statement? It is aimed with a call that we would be followers of Jesus. Well, what prevents that, and what causes difficulty with that, and what holds us back from being followers of the Lord? Those are important questions that we have to explore a little bit here. But Jesus all along the way made known the truth. "You did not choose me," John 15. "I chose you, and I appointed you to bear fruit." This is the kind of language the scripture uses to really impress upon us the sovereign power in the call of God upon our lives. "Without me," Jesus said, "you can do nothing." Nothing. Those are the kind of statements that we get from Jesus along the way. From beginning to end, all the fulfillment, all the works were prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. And when it came to their failures, when it came to their denials, Jesus said, "Look at my hands. Touch my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." So what a message for us. God knows. I love reading Psalm 103 that says, he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. There's nothing about us that surprises the Lord. He knows every weakness. He knows the things that we give into. He understands the propensity. He understands how very weak we are. And even though your sins are heaped up like a mountain, he's forgiven you. This is what John's gospel has said. He has loved you. He has answered you. He's done everything necessary to help you. And now he wants us to think about the very thing he said about himself. As I was about my Father's business, I want you to be about my Father's business. It's really important, isn't it? What stops us from doing that? What holds us back from doing that? As I, he said in the last chapter, as the Father sent me, so I'm sending you. That was particularly focused on the apostles, but there's most certainly the calling of the Lord when he says, follow me. And that's what we're looking at today. The same is true for us, that the reality is that we can go backward. We can go backward. So if I asked you today, this morning, what direction are you really going in? Are you about your Father, Heavenly Father's business? Or would you honestly say, if I asked you that question, you say, you know, Pastor, I have to admit, I'm drifting. I've gone backward. I don't know where I am today. And I don't know why I'm behaving the way that I'm behaving. And I don't know why I continue to do the things that I don't want to do. And I admit, I look at this passage and I say, you know, I understand Peter. I get Peter. There are many times I'd rather go back and just fish. You know, I have that dream, you know, to get a little pond somewhere and just throw up my line and have nobody call me. That would be great, you know. Is that the calling of the Lord for me? These are the kind of things we're looking at today to be about the calling Jesus has. So I want you to notice what happens here in John 21. That Jesus fully restores Peter. It's a really beautiful section. And he wants you to identify with this story. He wants us to think about this story and understand this story. It comes with a great calling on your life that he said from the beginning to you, follow me. What keeps us? Well, we're going to look at here for a moment the penetrating question Jesus begins to press Peter with, the probing answer that is provided, and then this powerful calling that Jesus leaves him with. And we'll start with this penetrating question that is a remarkable question that's asked three times. I want you to put yourself in the shoes of Peter just here for a minute. Jesus focuses in now on Peter. That's not coincidental. Peter is a fun study. He tended to do all the foolish things in the gospel. And Jesus, of course, used Peter as a great example for us. Peter had awfully stumbled. I mean, he really did stumble in the worst sort of way. What he did was bad. He really denied the Lord three times terribly. These weren't little denials. These were choices to deny. They were willful choices on his part to deny. You remember that he's with the coals of fire and he's warming himself because he's cold. And Jesus is being punched and beaten and hauled off. And at one point, I think it's Luke's gospel, says Jesus turned around and looked at Peter when the rooster crowed. It was no little failure. Last time Jesus meets them on the shore, we looked at this fascinating section that he begins to reinstate them in their calling, as he did, to be fishers of men, not fishers of fish, but fishers of men. That calling had not changed. That was the whole point of that section. But the scene must have really overwhelmed Peter when he looked on the seashore, and there was another scene, charcoal of coals, same construction, only the second time used in the Gospel of John. So John wants us to tie it back to the denial. That's how we know in interpreting that this is the right way to go with it. The scene has been recreated. And Peter was being reminded on the basis of his calling that Jesus never chose him in the first place, thinking that he was strong enough or together enough himself to fulfill that calling. Peter was to lean upon the Lord. Peter was to trust the Lord. Think of the moment here. You know, Satan is a great accuser. You've had certain traditions who've given Satan way too much tradition, and I don't think our tradition has probably taken the threat of Satan seriously enough. Paul warned constantly. He was wanting to go certain places, and Satan hindered him. This perspective of Peter, I think Peter understood when he would write later, Satan walks about, roams about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan is a great accuser, and Satan is one who does everything he can to weaken and destroy pastors. He wants to take down the courage of the pastor. This is exactly where Peter is. Peter is discouraged. When you fail, you don't really feel like you could be useful for Jesus, do you? Peter will not only have to deal with all these problems, Jesus knows that the weight of the struggle, the weight of the discouragement, what it typically does is it makes people give up. Discouragement produces inactivity. Discouragement and failure promotes going backward. And this is not just for pastors. It's the same struggle. Discouragement can make us rather neglectful in the callings that he has given us. And I think the sort of force of this passage, the emphasis of this passage is it's a passage that's essentially pulling us out of ourselves. I want you to notice something. It's interesting that Jesus addresses him not as Peter. Notice it there. When he had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Now this is one of those decisions as an interpreter and pastor and preacher. Do you make anything of that? Everyone will say, "Oh, you shouldn't make things of that, and you shouldn't go too far." I think this is something that you have to look at the book of John and say, "Where did this come from, and how had John already used this?" And you'll remember all the way back in chapter 1, right at the beginning, which is sort of a bookend here to the book. Back in chapter 1, Jesus said to him, remember, "You shall no longer be called Simon, but Cephas," which is translated as stone. Now, it's interesting to me, to say the least, that now at the beginning of his restoration, Jesus now has employed the word Simon, the name Simon. You'll remember that in Peter's confession in the other Gospels, that when he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Jesus first used the name Simon, but then he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." He was this foundational representative apostle who, in his confession, this was an important moment in that confession. But I think Jesus is saying, do you remember the moment? You remember the moment when I said, "You shall no longer be called Simon, you shall be called Cephas." I think Jesus is asking an important question here. I think Jesus is drawing out something important here. And it really is the question of, who are you? Who are you? You know, this is a very big consequence that the apostles understood of Jesus' resurrection. When all throughout the New Testament they would say, "If anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is past, and behold, the new has come." You can't help but wonder, was Jesus having Peter think about this very important point? How do you think of yourself? What do you think of yourself? Who do you think you are? Who are you? And then comes this really probing question. Penetrating question. "Simon, do you love me more than these?" This is a quite a moment in the Gospel of John right at the end. "Simon, son of Jonah," John, "do you love me more than these?" You should notice how each question is crafted a certain way. Each moment here is important in this threefold questioning of Peter. It's not so much it is the love that's important, but it's also what follows of what is added or what is not added that really you have to stop and think about for a moment. Jesus is indicating something important, that he sees Peter has retreated to his old self. He sees Peter is discouraged. He sees Peter feels like giving up. And Jesus here has come as he has retreated to his old calling of being a fisherman. It was not the truth of the matter. His calling for Peter had not changed. Do you love me more than these? That's a fascinating question. You can't miss what the biblical writers want us to see. What the writers want, what John wants you to see is each question is a response to each failure of Peter. Do you love me more than these? If Peter denied Jesus three times, Jesus will restore him three times. If Peter denied Jesus over a coal of fire, Jesus will restore him over a coal of fire. If Peter failed in his mission, then Christ was going to strengthen him and call him and recommission him in that mission. But what is the Lord's concern? That's what I'm curious about. What is the Lord's concern? It's the way he speaks to him. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? It's interesting that the word here play on love. Some have tried not to make much of it. I think you should make a lot of it. The first word for love is agape. That's an important word in the Bible. That important love to value, to cherish, to long for, to sacrifice, has that sacrificial element to it. We understand it's the most profound love word in the scripture that we use all the time when we talk about weddings and things like this. But notice how Jesus is probing Peter. Do you agape me more than these? It's a really kind of strange question. Why would you ask that? It would be like, I mean, feel it for a minute. It would be like Jesus specifically asking me, Chris Gordon, do you love me more than all these people sitting here? Well, of course I do. That'd be arrogant, wouldn't it? Do you love me more than these? Remember the first denial? Remember what happened that led up to the denial? Peter said to Jesus, even if all these deny you, I won't. Even if all these people out here deny you, I'm going to tell you right now, I won't do it. That's a lot of pride. That is quite a statement. That is quite a statement. You have to really think of yourself pretty highly to say that. Peter had lifted himself up above all the disciples. Lord, if all your sheep were made to stumble and I alone stood and I had to face it, I wouldn't do it. What's interesting about that is I think sincerely in him, there was a lot of love in that statement. What a mixture of love and pride. What a mixture. You know, the most dangerous threat to Christianity really is your own pride. Pride is a sworn enemy, your own sworn enemy in some ways of your own flesh. Thinking that you can do this on your own. Thinking that you have the strength and power every day to do this on your own. We're full of pride. All it takes is for Jesus to let a little pride to mature in us, just a little bit of pride to mature in us, like a little servant girl coming up to Peter and saying, you weren't with him, were you? No. You didn't even stand up to a little girl. I don't know what you're saying. I don't know this man. Even if all are made to stumble, first denial, I will not. Peter, do you love me? Do you agape me more than these? See it? So Jesus is drawing out a confession. I think he's drawing out a confession that I'm not sure Peter initially saw. I think later he saw this really clearly. Right in front of all the disciples standing there, Jesus singles out Peter and says, "Do you love me then more than these, Peter?" Awkward moment when you've just denied him in front of all these. Jesus is drawing out from Peter the very thing he said in John 15. "Peter, I told you, apart from me, you can do nothing." No strength. Himself. I think there's a great inward struggle of Peter here that I find Romans 7-ish. "I really want to love you." Listen to how he responds. "Indeed, Lord, you know that I love you." What's interesting is that he will not use the same word in the Greek. "I have affection for you. I have affection for you. You know I have affection for you." I find that significant that he will not use agape. And here's that inward struggle of the believer. I really believe it's captured here. It's something that you have to understand, that life is weak. We are weak. We do love. We ourselves get in the way of that love. And what we have here is Jesus beginning to restore Peter in the midst of that struggle, isn't it? Isn't it beautiful? Right in front of the coals of fire upon which he had denied his Lord just a few days previous to this, and asking him, "Do you love me more than these?" when he said a few days ago, "I'll never deny you, even if they do." But now he says, "I can't. I love you, but I don't love you the way that you're asking." This is our struggle. The actions of denial at the heart of Jesus' afflictions prove that he did not have the kind of love that Jesus was here talking about. Surely his actions had spoken volumes. His actions were hypocrisy. But he refuses to say, "I agape you," but he can't say, "I don't love you." You see it? Of course he loved him. But he's a conflicted man. What's happening right now? Something really healthy. On-the-spot training in humility. On-the-spot training in humility.
Well, Pastor Chris will be back tomorrow with more in John chapter 21. We trust you'll make it a point to join us as we continue our journey through John and near the end of our look at this amazing gospel. You're listening to Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon, who will return in just a moment with a look ahead to our next broadcast. Questions, comments about the program, as always, are more than welcome. We'd love to hear from you. How's the program encouraging you in your walk and relationship with Christ? Reach out to us. Let us know, won't you? Our number is 888-504-8805. Or you can visit us online, agradio.org. Now, that is a great resource to have handy. Not only do we have past programs available online at our website, we also have jumping off points to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, as well as recent articles written by Pastor Chris and other friends of the ministry. Again, agradio.org. We also would like to remind you that you're a very key part of this ministry, Abounding Grace Radio. Through your financial partnership with us and prayerful support, we are able to continue this ministry, not only on this station, but others as well. So would you please consider partnering with us financially, whether it's a one-time gift, a monthly gift, no gift is too small or too large. Reach out to us again at agradio.org or call us at 888-504-8805. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
How can we love Jesus when we're this much of a mess? And we're pulled this way and that way. And our own hearts rise up and condemn us. You see what Jesus was doing here is very clear. Jesus was giving Peter the opportunity to confess, to receive help. But importantly, restoration is what this is about. And it's important that Jesus gives now the single most important way that Peter can love Jesus. You want to know how you can love Jesus today? Get out of yourself. Get out of yourself. He's forgiven you. He's washed you. He's loved you. That love was before you ever said yes to any of this. Do you understand that? That love was before you said yes to anything, before you stood up here and professed faith, before even the covenant sign was put on your forehead. He agape'd you in AD 30.
Well, that's tomorrow. Join us then for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.